Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. We are back and going strong. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Hi, Tasila. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you? And welcome, everybody, to all... all
yes,
our friends and family
fine.
From all over the world, God bless you.
Yes, hallelujah. So glad everybody joined us today. I want to say hi to everybody. And I would like for all of you to pick up your phones or grab your computers and go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Or just tell them to click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila wherever they see the link for this particular program. It could be on Facebook, LinkedIn, Alignable, Instagram, Tumblr, or Twitter. But just tell them to go ahead and just dial the number or click on our picture. All right? Okay. Now, we are going to talk about our special guest a little bit later, but first, I can hear yep, that's it. It's that time, y'all. It's time for a TNT moment. Praise the Lord. Time for a TNT moment, a T. Meyer and Tasila moment. So what do we have for today, Pastor Tasila?
Well, we have a lot of people out there that need a lot of answers. So you guys go to christiantalkr@gmail.com and send your comments. And today we have in this day of uncertainty, what should we as Christians be doing? Well, that's a lot,
yeah.
But fasting, praying, reading, and putting on the full armor of God, I would say that is some of the things that we should be doing so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And after you stand, the Lord said, then stand, you know, like make sure that you're in a good position, stand and stay there, endure. And, I just got to tell you guys, this is something else. And Paul knew that we would be on a roller coaster ride in the end time. But, you know how when you're on the ride and it's over and you can't wait to lift that bar, especially if it was rough, and then when you stand up and walk away, it's like, yes. But Christians, it's time to stand up in the Lord. It's time to show up. It's time to bring what you're working with. Because a lot of times people they have a lot of gifts. God has given you guys. And it's not to show off. It's not to get money with. It's not to do certain things. It's just to bring so that you can help a lot of these people who don't understand what's going on. And if, even if you're truthful with your own self, we all got to first start being truthful with ourselves. Some of you have been experiencing a little hopelessness because we get the calls and we see it because all the lies and uncertainty, whether it's from the government, churches, friends, family systems, social security systems, EDD systems, political systems, school systems,
right,
medical, prison, it don't matter. And I say prison, whether it's in your own mind or you're physically there sitting in a cell right now, you know, these systems do exist. But the greatest system is our God's miracle-working kingdom power system, because God has a system too. So if you, I'm going to just give you a scenario. So if you take a glass and fill it with water, and you have two things going on at the same time, even if you sit it on the table, it appears to be one thing, a glass of water. Yet two things are going on at the same time, a hard shell of a glass and a soft water that can save your life. And let's say that the water is the Holy Spirit and the glass is the container. The word says, be in this world, but not of it. Yet we are in this world, but we are contending for with an unseen force. And that is something that Christians don't want to realize, that they are in a war. They're like, what's going on? What's going on? You in a war. Gird up. Gird up your loins.
That's right.
And it's not, and not only is that system that you're seeing that's fighting with you, you're also in the kingdom of God. And what are you talking about, Sister Kaziva? Well, I'm talking about God has prepared a place for the church to be in at this time until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. The Lord has places for all the saints. Individually, he has places for each person to meet him at. He is a meeting in your bedroom every night. But he has a place for everybody to come into. What we are observing is two things going on at the same time. We see blessing, and we are also witnessing judgment, just like in Deuteronomy 28. If you do A, B, C, D, then the favor and hand of God is upon you. But if you do E, F, G, you are in the outer courts where the dogs lie. And for one, you just got to realize that it's two systems going on. But for others, it's the season of the open door. And not just you seeing judgment, but there's good things God is doing. And we're in a open door, open heaven season. And it's time to walk into it. The things you've been praying for and waiting for and that you know God told you you were going to do is about to happen. Yes, two things are happening at the same time. Like the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 are trimmed and are waiting for to hear their king's voice to say, come in. And 5 are out there waiting for Reggie to say, give them the answer. I just said Reggie because people look to other people for answers. Well, what do you think? That's all they want to know. What do you think? No, go get your own answer. You don't have to spend in a long prophecy line if you just spend time on your knees in the presence of the Lord. He'll tell you. And then when they do speak, you'll know what they're speaking, if they're telling the truth or not. Because it will only be confirming what God already showed you. And it's not to hear from the media or an opinions of men. We are in a time that we must hear God's voice for ourselves. Yes. That's what time it is. He says, my sheep hears my voice, and another's they will not hear. But that takes some preparation, right? Some encouragement, like David said, I will encourage myself in the Lord. How about you?
Yes.
We all must prepare our own hearts to seek the Lord. That starts with knowing who we are and whose we are. You really want to know for yourself what's going on, as told to you by the Spirit of God and not man. You don't want to feel like a tossed up salad. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And those are instructions concerning the day of evil. The whole armor is the expression of your full trust in God and what he has done for you. Some men trust in houses, cars, EBTs, doctors, EDD, SSI, vaccinations, masks, and other people, well, they put their victory in spiritual warfare and that it was secured at the cross of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has taken care of it, and that the blood was shed for them. So the wilder it gets, ask God to clear your mind of anything that would distract you from operating with his, without his perspective and his thinking. That's what you need. You need to see it like he sees it, hear it like he says it, and then you put on the word of God, which is your full armor. Amen. What do you think, Pastor T?
Whoa, that was a mouthful. Bottom line, we have to obey. What should Christians be doing in this hour? We should obey Scripture, obey the word of God. We should pray, praise, and worship the Lord more than ever, keeping his presence with us and near us and in us. Partake of the Holy Communion. This is very important right now. Partake of the Holy Communion. And we must hear the word of God in this hour. We must hear. We should do, we should all do what the Lord said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means to put your full confidence and faith in God and lean not unto your own understanding. We can't lean to our own understanding because our finite minds can cause us to fall off course because we can't see the full picture of life. But God sees all things and knows all things and understands all things, both in the natural and in the spiritual. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That means that we are to recognize his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and admit and accept his guidance, and then thank him, and he shall direct your path. The Lord shall direct your path in the midst of uncertainties. We are to follow the leading of his Spirit. We must hear and obey his word. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't be so puffed up with your own wisdom, which, by the way, is worldly wisdom, but open your heart to the wisdom of the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Christians, what we should do in this hour is seriously repent. Yes, I said it. We have to repent. Which means, and I'm talking about all of us, we have to repent, which means to turn from your sins. Yeah, and that means to turn from your sins and turn to the Lord. Turn from your sins, but turn to the Lord. Depart from even the appearance of evil. What should a Christian be doing in this hour? A Christian should do what the Lord said in Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And you've heard this. Many of you have heard this scripture many times. If my people, the Lord said, if my people, not if the world or if other religions or cultures, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, listen to this. Christians, we are his people called by his name, shall humble themselves. That means to truly bow down to God and to his authority, his lordship over us, and pray without ceasing. Pray and seek my face. The Lord really means that. When he says seek my face, he really wants you to literally seek his face. Desire to see him. This is a real reality is what he's trying to bring us into. And turn from your wicked ways. Once again, he says turn from your wicked ways, which simply means to repent. This is going to all of us, God's people. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. He admits that he will forgive us if we do all of what I just read. If we did all of what he just said, then he has promised to forgive our sins and will heal their land. He will heal our country. What should Christians do in this hour? Get into a place with the Lord that we can receive instructions and directions. Get into a place where we can be supplied to do all that he requires us and be equipped with all that we need in order to do his perfect will in this hour. We should get into a place of relationship so that we can hear his voice and he can hear yours. A place where he will not shut his ears off to your prayers. We should be in a place where we make a request and he answers. We must get into God's secret place, a place of protection. God's secret place is the place of a true and real heartfelt relationship. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth, that means you live there, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This secret place is a place of love, security, provision, peace, and protection. It's a place of joy and happiness in the midst of danger. It's a place of joy and happiness even in the midst of danger, in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of wars and pandemics. God's secret place is a place of intimate conversation, fellowship, and communion. It is a place where we get God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It is where we get strength and courage and boldness. It's a place of miracles, signs, wonders, and the place where we are endued with Holy Spirit, fire, and power. That secret place is the kingdom realm of heaven. It's not a place of fear, as the scripture says in Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff of the Lord is the Holy Spirit that comforts us. No matter where you go, no matter where you are, you will continually be in God's secret place. It is a place of peace, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God's secret place is the kingdom of God on earth with you and in you. Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God's secret place is the place that he anoints us with a great anointing for his ministry in this hour, a great anointing. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He's telling us to tarry in that secret place until he endues us with power from on high. God wants to send us out fully equipped to do his perfect will in this hour so that the kingdoms of this world will truly become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We Christians have a mission in this hour, and that is to multiply in the earth, bringing forth born-again people, and to replenish the beauty of the land, and to subdue the earth, which means to bring it into divine order. So get ready, Christians. Stay sober, and let's get the job done in Jesus' holy name. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Radio with T. Meyer and Tusila, also known as TNT, and we are back with our special guest. You know, Pastor Tusila, I'm really excited about our special guest today. We've been knowing him for really a long time. We've shared the stage together and performed many different places. This guy is something else. He's very talented. Everybody, I want to introduce our special guest, Bishop Kenneth Wells. Kenneth Wells is a very well-known, hard-working man in God's kingdom business who's known all over the Inland Empire and throughout California and other states as well, because he's been doing a lot of work in other places. I guess he'll tell us a lot about that. Let me tell you a little bit about Bishop Wells, okay? Bishop Wells is the pastor at Spirit of Love Christian Church. Now, Spirit of Love Church was founded in May of 1996 by the Bishop and Lady Shervon Wells. That's his wife, by the way. The church is located in San Bernardino, California, and has been there for 25 years. He has been married to the same lady for 35 years. Gospel singer Shervon Wells. Amen. Shervon Wells, formerly of the Kurt Carr Singers. So here we have another musician here. Bishop Wells has been a radio personality for over 30 years and the founder and director of the Riverside Mass Choir. Bishop Wells is the founder and CEO of the Gospel Industry Network, thegen.org. He studied business administration at Chaffey College. Bishop Wells is determined to do the Lord's will and have not slacked up, but continues to move full speed ahead with him and his wife. Everybody, let's welcome Bishop Kenneth Wells.
Yay, yay.
You hear that applause? Oh, man. How are you?
Oh, God. Brother, that's so funny. Man, it's so good to talk to you and your lovely wife, man. And like you said, we've been knowing each other for a long time, man. Before my kids, I mean, your Jerry Curl days. Searchlight.
Searchlight.
Isom Records.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Back in the day. Look, some of the young people may not even know what a record is or a cassette is. That's how long we've been in this thing.
Going back pretty far.
Since then you've
always been busy. Even back then, you were always into a lot of things that you were doing. And, you know, I'm like, does this man sleep or what?
Yeah. Well, you know, I started the Riverside Mass Choir when I was 19. I'm 58 now. And one day, a gentleman, I was actually having my first concert and choir robe dedication, and a man by the name of Leroy Lacey picked up a flyer, called the number, and you know the late Leroy Lacey. The number on the flyer and asked me, he said, hey, would you like to come to the radio station and talk about your concert and your choir? And I went, and I liked radio. I mean, you know, I liked the interview part of it. And then the next thing you know, he had me come back, and then sitting there talking to him. Next thing I know, I was like, well, can I try it? And that was how I got into radio. My interview led me to becoming a radio person, and then I became on staff at KPRO 30 years, you know, later, you know. Was a radio personality. I did sales and marketing and all that kind of stuff for the station. But that took me to the Gospel Music Workshop of America, where I met more people in the industry and became a record executive. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that Kim Burrell was one of my first artists, you know.
Is that right?
I put Kim Burrell's first project out. Late Sean McLemore, the Southeast Inspirational Mass Choir, and some other choirs, you know, across the country. I did a lot of managing. I managed the Claire Ward Singers for a while. you know. So kind of moved from the artist part of it, because I did record a couple of albums. The late Ricky Grundy was the producer of my first project. And as I got into radio, it just took me more over to the executive side, you know.
Right.
And then I became the Southern California Gospel Announcers President. I did that for almost 10 years. And then went to national position and became the national coordinator. I just resigned in May of 2019 from that organization and started a new organization, what we call the GIN, the Gospel Industry Network. We launched that October 2019. So,
okay,
you know,
tell us a little about the GIN. What is that about?
So the Gospel Industry Network, it is exactly what it is. It is a network of radio, television, print media, recording artists, record labels, all of the facets that keep the machine of gospel music going, that's who's in this organization, okay?
Mm.
And we've even added pastors, because pastors, I feel, is the missing link to the gospel music industry. They need to be a little more involved. They are promoters in themselves, and their houses are venues, you know? So we're bringing pastors in to kind of to educate them, you know, a little more about the gospel music industry, because the black gospel industry is really suffering, but that's another story.
Okay.
This is what the GN Gospel Industry Network, we have like 70 affiliates across the country. Every major city, we have an affiliation, including London. We just came back in October from London, and Freeport and Nassau, Bahamas, and Toronto, Canada, and Nigeria. So it's still growing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So our objective is to kind of strengthen black gospel music, you know, and our own industry, you know, because a lot of things have changed tremendously. And one of the main things that we want to deal with is an accountability. Because no one has ever held the lifestyle of black gospel artists. They've never had to give an accountability. That's why it's so crazy. That's why you see so many crazy things going on in black gospel that you won't see on the Christian side. And when I say the Christian side, you have the Caucasian side, which is the Christian side, and the gospel side, which they refer to as the black side. Okay, so the Christian side has the GMA, which is the Dove Awards, or the Gospel Music Association. They hold the Christian or the white artist to a great accountability. You know, you do crazy stuff over there, they'll pull your music off the shelves. You know, gospel music, it for years, it has pretty much been a do what you want to do, and nobody says anything. You know, so with our networking, we also want to have a place where we can say to the record labels, hey, you know, get your artists. Don't have them drunk on Facebook and cussing.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
And no one has ever done that. You know, so that's we're building a coalition for that also, while we're building the other facets, changing in the industry. Our people don't know how to make money. They don't know how to survive because CD sales have gone very low. They're still selling, but they don't know that most money is coming from streaming now. They don't know that they have to be licensed and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I give you a whole seminar on that, man.
Now, that's some good information, because I'm sure there's a lot of upcoming musicians and singers that's listening to the program, and that's, the more they know about what's going on, I think that's more of a blessing for them to grow their music.
Because
the whole point is to get the word of God out there through music. These are ministers of music, and they need to get their music out there so that people can be drawn into the presence of the Lord. So, very good.
You know, because I'm very careful. You'll hear artists who will say, well, you know, this is just ministry for me. Okay, well, then I'm not going to help you. Because if you don't want to take care of business and all you want to do is ministry, minister at your local church. Okay? But if you come to us as a national organization, we want to help you. Because, first of all, understand that ministry takes money. Unless you're a millionaire, you know, gas, airplane tickets, hotels, and all that kind of stuff, it costs money. And then you want to go to these churches and all that and try to demand that they give you an honorarium when nobody knows you in their congregation. You can't do that.
Right.
You know, so it's about building your brand. And because if you're going to be an artist, be an artist. And it's okay to be an artist. We understand that you minister. You know, we want you to be sincere about ministry, but take care of business. And even for us, you know who Vicky Mack is, right, Ty? Vicky Mack she's the lady who had Gospel Centric Records with Kirk Franklin and Lawrence and Kirk Carr and all of them.
Right.
You know, out of L.A. She made millions of dollars off of gospel music. Okay. You know, she's a part of our board. And if she tells you, a person that has made millions of dollars, that she's had to relearn the industry, that means that all of us are learning. So for people who just think they know it all, it's just like I was in the medical field before I went into ministry full time. Doctors have to keep going back to school because equipment changes. You know, and they have to learn how to use it, you know. So gospel artists, we have to go. That's why pastors go to conferences and conventions, so that we can keep learning, you know. So gospel artists need to keep learning. Never stop.
That's true.
Technology's not going to stop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So being a part of the GN, we provide things like that. We have seminars. We have a lot of professionals. That's a part of our organization, you know. And, you know, like I said, right now, streaming is where the money is, and you got to learn how to get licensed and registered and so that you can get your money.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's some very good information. Very good information. Praise the Lord for that, you know. And for a lot of you young musicians out there that want to get serious in the music industry, I would advise you to contact Bishop Kenneth Wells. And before we end the program, Bishop, I'm hoping you'll give them your contact information and your website, your church website, and the GEN website, all of that, right?
Yeah. The organization's website is real simple. It's the GEN, and it's PHEGIN.org. And, you know, just follow us. We have a YouTube page, the Gospel Industry Network page. You know, subscribe to that. Matter of fact, we have a regional choice competition going on right now where we're just trying to build our subscriptions up, because that's another thing, is numbers count, you know. And we even realize that we have an Instagram page and a Facebook page and YouTube pages. Whatever they're doing, we're doing it too, you know. And because we got to stay relevant, you know. So if you're interested, you want to get more you want to get more exposure, you know, you can submit your video to our page, and we'll post it on our page, you know, so that if you have a video, you can get more exposure that way. So, again, just go to thegen.org, and you can contact us on there, you know. If you're in the San Bernardino area, my church is Spirit of Love. We're on 29th and E in San Bernardino. E is in Edward. And that Facebook, I mean, that website is spiritoflovehouse.com.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So what is the original competition about?
Pardon me?
Tell us more about the regional competition. What is that all about?
Well, the regional competition is because we're really, really trying to find new artists who have the heart of God. Now, you know, I love Kirk Franklin. I love Fred Hammond. I love Yolanda Adams. But can we get a break? You know, can we get some?
And Donnie McCorkle, don't leave out.
Right. You know, we are really looking for some young people. And it's probably that young lady that's doing praise and worship at her daddy's church, and she's killing the congregation every Sunday because she's so anointed.
Mm-hmm.
She got a song in her heart. She's living holy. Mm-hmm. You know, her face is before God. You know, and these are the people that we want to give the opportunity, you know, to get exposed in the gospel music industry. You know, so yeah. If they have a video and they can submit it to us, you know, what we do is we look at how many hits and views it gets, and we look at the comments that the people say, and then we come and pick a person that we want. If you go on our Facebook page, we did one before, and the young lady is on the front of our website. So what we do is we start pushing that person out, you know, into the industry. And it doesn't cost them nothing. There's not a fee to join the regional choice. You know, just send your video in, you know, so you can't lose in it, you know. And
right.
We're just trying to give more artists more exposure. Yeah. And they'll have an opportunity to perform. Yeah. We were going to do the pre-Grammy gospel show in L.A., but it got postponed. They moved it to Las Vegas. So now we're trying to decide if we want to go to Las Vegas and do the pre-gospel show there in Las Vegas, because we have a Las Vegas team too. But our winners, a lot of times they'll get to perform on some of these shows. We're going to do our first conference in Fort Lauderdale in July. We're looking at the 10th. The 17th through the 21st in Fort Lauderdale. So, I mean, people are going to be coming from all over, you know, there. So we'll have classes. We're going to do our first award show, the Gen Awards, you know. So we got a lot of stuff going on right now.
Oh, it sounds like
praise
it.
The Lord,
whatever
man.
Happened to you the McDonald's?
The McDonald Fest is funny because I was one of the first judges for the L.A. McDonald Gospel Fest, getting the support, you know, because at the end of the day, for all of these things, if it's not bringing any money, they're going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened, is that, you know, people stopped coming, and it just became, you know, I don't know, but one of the guys, his name was Lindsey Hughes, that was over at the McDonald Gospel Fest. So what they did now is they changed it. The McDonald's is sponsoring tours, the McDonald's tours. And every year in Los Angeles at A Taste of Soul, you all ever heard of that, A Taste of Soul? The gospel show that they have at A Taste of Soul is sponsored by McDonald's, and they take it to every major city. So that's kind of what McDonald's is doing right now. Who's kind of taking over what McDonald's was doing is Verizon. The Verizon competition, and Donald Lawrence is the face of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they have that in a lot of the major cities, and then they end up having one big competition. So, like, all the people that win in regions, they'll meet in one major city and have one big thing. And Verizon puts out a lot of money for that. They don't play. They give everybody free phones. They pay for all of their hotels, their flights, and McDonald's wasn't doing that for us. Verizon is really hooking it up. So
that's something.
But one thing I would really, you know, since we're here in the IE, and I know you have listeners all over, I just really want to do something in the Inland Empire for gospel music. You know, so if anybody's listening in L.A. and you want to get active, we do have a Gen chapter in the Inland Empire, and we invite you to be a part.
You guys hear that? Be a part of it. Well, that is so good. I mean, so many opportunities, man. You know, when I was heavy in the business, you know, opportunities like this, my goodness. I mean, what people would do to, you know, to be a part of some of the things that you're doing. It's just good to know. So I hope a lot of people would take heed and wherever you have your different places that's doing this. You said you have a place and you've got your locations in Los Angeles, Fort Lauderdale, and a lot of different places. So wherever you are. And even you mentioned out of the country. Where was that? What country?
Yeah.
Did you mean was it London?
And, we just came back from London, and we're over. And we got we just got a call from someplace, and it's not even a gospel place, but I can't even think of the name of the city. But yeah, we're just growing all over the place. So if they go to the website, thegn.org, and if they hit up there where it says leadership, it'll have affiliates, and all the cities that we cover will pop up.
Great because, we have listeners all over the United States. We have them all in London, in the U.K., and Germany, and all over the place, Africa.
That's
so, Pakistan.
Yeah. You know, hey, and if you are listening and you would like a gin in your area and we don't have one, let us know because we want to be everywhere.
You want to be everywhere. Right. Praise the Lord.
And it's so funny that you would talk about how gospel is just loved over in Europe, especially like in Italy and all those places. They don't even really understand the language, but they feel it, you know,
and they
buy it. The reason that America, gospel was founded here, so we're spoiled by it. We can go to church and we hear it every Sunday, you know.
Exactly.
So the value of gospel music here, and you can see that in the awards show. None of the awards shows acknowledge it. Not even Black Entertainment, BET, you know, puts gospel at the last 2 minutes of the show and rolls the credits up on them while they perform it.
Exactly.
You know.
Right.
That's true. Or a half-song commercial.
right. And then on the Grammys, they don't even get to perform. They may announce that they got it earlier that day. You know, and I'm going to tell you, that's because the church, the Black church, doesn't even value our music. Because if we bought our music and supported it, they would have to put us up. But our numbers are so low.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm.
And the Black church, they want everything free. And they dub, you know, and copy everything and send each other, you know, you get a song for the choir and they'll send the whole church to MP3, you know, instead of going out and supporting it. So therefore there goes the sale.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Okay. So Kenny, what do you think is like, if you have like a 17, 18 year old new artists that want to get in the business and they're anointed, and what do you suggest? How do they get started?
How do they get started?
Yeah, because if they go to the churches, they want them to sing for free. And, you know, it costs to get there, like you said, gas and time and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, waiting on gratuities and all that. But how would you suggest that they get started, like, without being disappointed? Because a lot of them have ran into the problems that you're talking about when, you know, once you get there. So what is your suggestion?
For a new artist, especially a young person, especially their music, they have to make sure and be true to what you want to sing, you know. So if you want to do neo gospel or something like that, there's a market for that music, you know. So what you need to do is find somebody that can put your music in that market, okay, because different radio stations have different formats. That's another thing that people don't realize is certain stations will not play quartet music. Certain stations will not play hip-hop gospel because that's not their format, and they don't feel that their listening audience will listen to it. Now, when I was on the radio doing my morning show, I played everything because I'm a lover of all kinds of music, okay? But all radio stations aren't like that. So back to that question of that young person, they need to find somebody that can help them brand their artistry. Okay, they need someone that can help them get them out, and that's what Jen does. That's what we do, you know.
So then the best thing to tell the people is that if you're that person that Tosila was describing, contact you.
Yeah, or a local Jen, you know, that can walk you through it, you know. But let me tell you, I listen to everybody's music. I promise you. And I would say before you go to the studio, you know, get a consultation on what you want to do and how to do it. If you're not ready, professionally, accept it and go get trained.
Yeah.
You know, because I gotta believe in the artist that I'm a push.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
I hear you.
Exactly.
You know, and there are some great some young people. I heard a young lady in out here in San Bernardino the other day, and I gave her $50 because she blessed me. I told her, "Girl, you good. Here's $50. Just took it out of my pocket, just to encourage her.
Encourage her.
You know,
She
needs somebody that will take her in the studio, and don't even think about albums right now. Think about a single.
Mhm. Right.
We're not doing albums right now. We don't radio personnel. We don't even get out full albums no more. It's just, and that's what the record labels was trying to do before, and we used to get mad at them because we wanted the full CD, but they'd only send us one song because that's what we want to do is get one song in rotation. So really, all you need to do is do one great song, okay, and then we'll put it in that market that song needs to go into. And then we brand
right.
it. And then we send you to the churches that love that music. So, you may be African American, but you got a CCM side, or your song may be CCM. Don't feel bad because the traditional black church don't want to hear your music. Go over to the white church that'll love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a young lady by the name of Mandiza. Y'all know her? Y'all ever heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Mandiza is a black girl. She can sing. Man, she can really sing, right? But her music was more CCM, and the black radio didn't really play it that well. But, you know, I would play it, but it wasn't traditional. That girl got that
right.
music over there in that CCM side. Them people treated her like a baby CC whining. You know, so she opens up all the shows for a lot of the white Christian artists and all that kind of stuff. And she's an amazing singer. So don't even keep yourself in a box, you know.
Right, right.
You know, go that's where something. They will celebrate you. And you don't even see CeCe Wynn in the black church that much. CeCe's over there on that Christian side making all that money.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It ain't about the money. Don't get me wrong because I said that.
Yeah.
But she's making it, and she's still saved. And the black church still loves CeCe, and so do the white people.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't put yourself in a box. And when CeCe makes songs, she's keeping her white audience in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to her music. She ain't all hardcore gospel. Because if she go too hard, she's going to lose her white audience. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying when I say white audience. You know, it ain't a prejudice thing.
I understand because I know what it is to crossover.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people crossover.
Let me explain. Let me explain it to the listening audience. Okay, and when we say white gospel and black gospel, it's not a prejudice thing. It is a sound preference.
Okay. Right.
And even on the Christian side, on the white side, what do they call that? Country white music. What do they call that? It just went out of my mind. Bill Gaither and all them guys.
It's almost bluegrass.
But they have a sound that even the Christian audience don't even listen to it.
Yeah.
Because it's not contemporary enough. But they have their own audience.
Right.
So when we say all this and when we say the quartet, because Bill Gaither's music is like the quartet side of black gospel music, you know. But when we say the white side and the white side, we're just basically saying a musical preference.
Right, exactly.
You know, or a sound.
Exactly.
Well, why is the churches split up to the same standards?
You're right. You're right. Because even
is it because what they worship? That's the way they want to worship,
It is because. Like the Presbyterians are very quiet, you know, and then you have the Pentecostals who are extreme. We're loud because I'm Pentecostal. We're loud, you know, and we're physical with our worship. And the more conservative people will say, well, it don't take all of that. I don't want to do that, you know, but I love Jesus and I'm going to worship him in my quietness. Well, that's fine. And they're content with that in their church. So it is a worship experience preference. You know, and it's funny to me how so many people they used to be in the club, but they got in the church and now they got a ear problem. You know, the music is too loud. Well, you was in the club. You come to the church and now it's loud. You know, even with my mother. The music too loud. Mama, y'all used to listen to B.B. King up on 10. You know? but they get in the church, and now their ears done got sensitive.
let me ask you something, Bishop. Are you still doing concerts?
I'm actually about to put my choir back together. And I'm putting a workshop performance choir together here in the Inland Empire so that we can back up groups. Keith Pringle, who was very popular back in the day, was at my church this past Sunday, made many hits. You know, so he was at my church Sunday. He and Shirley Caesar was in concert Saturday. She's 83 years old, man, and still killing it, Pastor.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Keith is
about
to be
when Lacey
70.
Brought her to the Inland Empire. Yeah.
Right. And that's what they said. That
we opened up for her.
He hadn't been here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put a choir together so that we can start bringing some of these other people in, and they'll have a built-in backup. You know, because it's very expensive to bring in a Yeah, to bring in their whole group and choirs and all that kind of stuff. So
that's good.
You know, those, yeah. We're going to try to do some stuff, you know, do some plays. Nick Cannon's brother, Gabriel Cannon, is here in the Inland Empire, and he does a lot of productions and shows and plays. So I just met with him this week and told him I wanted to get with him so that we can start bringing some things here. We have that California Theater in downtown San Bernardino where we can do some concerts. But the problem is we got to get the churches together that, to support them because our churches are lazy and don't want to do nothing.
Right, right. Right. Now, let's talk. What did you say, Pastor Tosima? What did you say?
He said they were lazy. I said, or afraid to come
or
out.
Or afraid.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the truth of that. We have lost our appetite for gospel music. Okay?
Yeah.
In San Bernardino and L.A., we can live with it or live without it. Out of all those black churches that we have in L.A., do you know that there's not one gospel radio station? Not one.
Wow.
Did you know the number one Christian station is Kirk Franklin's? And he's playing contemporary music.
Are you talking about his internet
station? That's Sirius Radio.
But
that's,
I'm talking
about it.
What we call a terrestrial station, which is a physical station. We don't have one in the Southern California area, not one. From here to San Diego, there's not one radio station. Now, we have some internet stations, but we don't have
stations.
You know, you have all the mega churches in L.A., and they're building their own kingdom, but nobody is thinking about doing something for everybody and doing a radio station. Now, on the East Coast, all black radio, gospel radio, is owned by churches. The Willis Network, which is about 13 gospel stations, is owned by Bishop. You know?
Wow.
So no one out here is thinking that. So we have to get the appetite for gospel music back here, you know, so that people will wanna go. And we just don't have it.
Okay, now, I have a couple of questions for you. Number one, your wife is a musician, and you are. So how did you meet her, and how did you guys, you know, how did that happen? How did you guys hook up?
Oh my goodness! The first time I saw her was at a church, and she was singing. And I just thought she was the cutest little thing. I don't even know if I said anything to her that night. But she ended up seeing her and one of the girls that sang in my choir were best friends. She went to her church. And we were doing a concert later on. And she brought her to the concert. And she asked her, introduce me to him. And that was the beginning. I said, I'm gonna get this girl right here. Mm-hmm.
And okay. Hey now. But you know something? We have a song by Siobhan Wells. It's called "I Won't Forget." And this is Bishop Kenneth Wells' wife, Siobhan Wells, and we're gonna play that right now.
Come on, everybody. We get ready to take you back. Let's see if you remember this.
Traveling shoes, Lord.
Got on my traveling shoes.
Traveling shoes, Lord.
Traveling shoes,
got on my traveling shoes.
Wow.
Well, that'll bring the faith back. That sounds like a Tyler Perry movie.
She's got a range, man. That's a serious range.
Oh, my
range.
Goodness. If she did another modulation,
wow.
I was about to run.
Woo!
Yeah,
yeah, boy.
Yeah. She's got some spice on
something.
Her.
Bishop, does anyone, how did you get into music? Did you come from a musical family or what? Take us back.
I actually did not come from a musical family. As a matter of fact, I did take piano lessons, and I wanted to be a little thug. And one day I ripped the piano, I ripped the keys out, and this is my biggest regret in my whole life. I ripped the keys. It was on our patio, and I ripped the keys out and lied to my mother and told her that somebody broke in the patio and ripped the keys out so I wouldn't have to go to piano lessons. My mother said, I knew you did it, you know, because I ended up confessing to her later. But I got the basics of the piano, and later, years later, started playing by ear, you know. But if I would have kept on learning how to play, you know, the piano, I would be so further in my musical career now. So that's one of my biggest regrets, you know. And then just one day, one of my choir directors, he was on his way to a community choir rehearsal, and I asked him where was he going. This was the late William Brown. He was the director at Loveland Church in Fontana. And he said, I'm going to this rehearsal in San Bernardino. It was the San Bernardino Community Choir. I asked him, could I go? He said, yeah. And I fell in love with singing in choirs. They let me direct. I was the assistant director for some years. And then I wanted to have my own choir. So since they were in San Bernardino, I said, well, I'm going to go over in the Riverside and start a choir. And that's how we started the Riverside Mass Choir.
Well, and you were about 19 at that time, right?
Yeah, I started the choir. I was 19 years old, and we were a very large choir, about 80 voices. We traveled all over Southern California. Ooh. We did Bobby Jones about 3-4 times. We went to Florida and did the Bobby Jones show. We went to Chicago, in Arizona. I mean, we were all over the place. We used to sing Reverend Cleveland, James Cleveland. We had him in concert at Riverside. Yeah, and we used to go to his church, and we did the McDonald's Gospel Fest. The first year that it came out, we were a part of that. I can't even think of half the things the Riverside Mass Choir did. We backed up Vanessa Bell Armstrong, the late Thomas Whitfield. We was his West Coast choir when he came to town.
Right.
We did a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were very popular. I know that, you know.
We did a lot of concerts with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we met, actually. From those concerts and Ice and Records. But now, when did you give your heart to the Lord? At what age were you when that happened?
I was going into my freshman year of high school. In 79. And I was already in church. I went to Bethel AME in Fontana. I went home to Florida because that's where I'm from. I'm actually from a little small town called Spar, Florida, just north of Ocala, just north of Orlando. So there are no, in central Florida. But I went home to see my grandparents, and one of my cousins invited me to church, little Pentecostal church. I mean, that's the size of a garage. And, man, I went in there and accepted the Lord Jesus. And this was old school. They used to, what they call tarrying, you know, tarrying for the Holy Ghost. So I was down there on my knees, just talking about Jesus. And until the tongue came, you know, I did it the old school. Now, I don't teach that no more. I mean, I still believe in the gifts and all that kind of stuff, but how we did it back then, we don't do it like that no more, you know. But that's how I received the Holy Ghost. And I came back home a new person, even when I was in high school, and I was just like, you know, hey, I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. I carried my Bible in high school, and then I left the church and went to First Baptist Church, which was more of a spirit. The church that you know as Loveland now was once called First Baptist.
Okay.
But First Baptist was a spirit-filled Baptist church, you know.
Mm.
So I got in there and got in the choir and got in ministry, and Pastor Chuck was my pastor. And him and Josh Beckley of Ecclesia, was our youth pastor. And I was one of Josh's assistants in the youth. And I sang with Pastor Ray Turner of the Temple Baptist Church. We all sang in the choir together, you know, at Loveland, or Loveland, as Pastor Chuck makes us say.
Right.
Loveland and Baptist is not Pentecostal?
Loveland is a non-denominational church. Their foundation was a Baptist church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then
a spirit-filed Baptist church.
Right. So then he moved it. Then he changed the name to Loveland Christian Church / Loveland Baptist Church, because they were still affiliated with the Baptist organization. So now I just believe that they're Loveland Church, non-denominational. So that's how I got ordained under him. And then my wife was Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal. So I married into the Church of God in Christ. And then I started going to my father-in-law's church, which was Church of God in Christ, you know. And
That was Bishop Blake, right?
Right. Bishop Blake was the presiding bishop over our church there. Yeah. So, and I just, you know, how I started my church was I needed something where I could get the full balance, because like Loveland, you got the word, but you didn't get the thump downright, you know, just church every Sunday. And then at my father-in-law's church, you got the bump, you got the dance and the shout, but you didn't get the word. You know, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. I need them both. I need to get the dance. I need to get the shout in, but I need the word too. You know, and when you come to Spirit of Love, that is our foundation, that you get the full package. You know, because I'm a teacher. I love the Word of God. I love teaching. I make the Word of God fun. You know, fun and learning. I would say 80% of my church is under 40.
Mm.
Yeah. So we have a young congregation, and we love worship. We love praising God. We dance, but at the end of the dance, you got to sit down and get some words. So it's a very well-balanced church.
Very good.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Very, very good. And your services start, is at what time?
Every Sunday at 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Okay.
Yeah. And it's really crazy, because this pandemic, I tell you, it's made us change. I don't even know if I'll go back to physical Bible study, you know, because Zoom has worked very well, you know, and I have more people on my Bible study Zoom than I did in physical church. You know, we'd be sitting in there physically with 5 or 10 people, you know, and Zoom always has at least 25 or more, you know. So it's like, hey, this works. Bishop T.D. Jakes says, do what works for your church, you know. So we still have Sunday school, but a lot of other churches don't have Sunday school because it didn't work for them. You know, but our people, they love getting up early in the morning and coming to 8:30 Sunday school. Some people don't want to do that. So if it doesn't work for your church, don't feel bad. It just doesn't work for your church.
Right.
You know.
Fine. Yeah. People should look for the church that the Holy Spirit send them to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of trying to go to churches their mother and father went to.
You done opened up another can, because I know so many people that I have a dear friend right now. They don't like their church at all, but because their mother and sister and all of them go there, they go. but spiritually dying because they're not getting fed. And that's crazy to me.
It is.
Yeah.
And the Lord's not there. I don't want to be there. I'm telling you that now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even want to visit. I don't want to visit either.
Yeah. It's interesting
right now. Well, I'm glad you still are, you know, alive, thriving, you know, in the Holy Spirit, thriving with the bump and the thump and the dance, because I love all that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. A lot of people frown on some of the things, but I feel like if you're praising God with all your heart, then throw your hands up like David did, you know.
Come on here.
He did the same thing. Yeah. And I don't mind. Sometimes I see people running across the room. I'm like, well, run on.
Yes.
That's how you feel.
I just don't understand how you going to make the Laker game more exciting than worshiping God. We get more turned up at the Laker game than we do.
That's right.
You know, and we are fanatics. My wife, I took her to a Laker game New Year's Eve. We did not have New Year's Eve service. I said, you know what, I'm not going to fool with y'all and beg y'all, and y'all have me up here with just my family while y'all out doing your thing. New Year's Eve, I was at the Laker game, me and my wife. We had a time. We were screaming. We was hollering. And but as much as we enjoy the Lakers, our worship is turned up higher than that.
Amen.
You know?
Well, with those vocals your wife got, I am sure it's off the chain up in there.
Believe me, she used to scream so that Kobe could hear her voice. I was like, girl, you're crazy.
Do you hear me, her Kobe?
Yeah. She would scream to get his attention. But, yeah, so. Yeah. But you all have to come and stop by. What time are your services?
Our services are in the afternoon.
So we might be able to make it.
We'll be able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys have to come and be do special music or just come and enjoy whatever you want to do. Let me know. You know, we love to have you.
Amen.
And definitely let's help promote your show here in the Inland Empire and wherever else we can promote it. I definitely want to help you all promote this. This is awesome. Thank you again.
Good.
Oh,
we have so many subject matters. We talk about everything. And, you know, just like you, we were talking about what churches people like to go to. And I'm glad that you brought some clarification to it, that sometimes people just want to go to where they feel like they're praising God their way. You know, I don't think it's really about the color of people's skin, but sometimes it is. Because it's hard to get one black person in an all-white church and vice versa.
Yeah.
And our church is multicultural. We have everybody.
Right.
And we accept everybody, so we don't have like a, you know, one thing. So we understand both sides.
Right. Well, okay, that sounds good. I'm going to have to come and visit you all too. You know,
when we're so happy. No, go ahead. You go ahead, Pastor Tefila.
No, I'm good. is probably you don't know when two people are talking at the same time, it cancels out the other person's voice. So we try to do a
on
one
this line.
And go.
That's why it's that little space, and we say, okay, go ahead, because we cancel out somebody because we said something at the same time. But, Pastor, I wanted to ask you, Bishop, I want to ask you if you would like to pray for some of our listeners. I think a lot of them got well-educated, and those that were fellow musicians, and a lot of people just got blessed with a lot of the things that you said tonight. Can you just say a prayer for all of our listeners all over the world?
Father, we bless you, and we just thank you, and I just pray a special prayer for everyone that is listening to this broadcast, those who may be down and oppressed, God. I pray that you would breathe on them and share your hope. Let them know that there is hope in the Son of God, and his name is Jesus, and there is still power.
Yes.
There is still restoration in the name Jesus. And God, we love you, and we thank you for the sacrifice that you sacrificed on the cross. God, I pray that you would lead us to be obedient children, and that we would be the followers and the salt of the earth that you called us to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray for those who want to pursue a career in gospel music, that they would perfect their craft, that they would seek you, God, and understand that it's not just about making money, but it's about bringing people to the Son of God. I thank you for this
yes.
broadcast. I thank you for Pastor and First Lady. I pray the blessings on their life, over their children, and this broadcast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you all. So
thank
much
you. And we're hoping, yeah, we're going to meet you. Not meet you because we've already done that, but meet your wife and a lot of the people at your church. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Hearing the word.
You know, we live, we talked about this today earlier. We live right up the street from each other. Let's go do lunch.
We live up the street from each other? Where you live?
I'm in San Bernardino and you in Highland.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's close.
Close.
And yeah, why don't we? We should. We'll set that up. We'll set that up.
Okay, we'll make it happen.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this broadcast tonight. We so appreciate all of our regular listeners, regular people, members that get on this dial-in and listen to our program. Those of you who listen from your computer and wherever, from whatever application that you're on, we thank you for tuning in faithfully every Wednesday. And just tell your friends, we're here every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And so you can just check your time zone. Keep in mind, we're all over the world. So some places where they're listening to us at 4 a.m. in the morning on Thursday, and some people at 6 a.m., some people at 12 p.m. on Thursday. So depending on where you are in the world, that's when we're on and you can listen. Now, keep in mind that if you miss tonight's program, don't fret. Don't feel bad because you can just check out the post wherever you see it. And like I mentioned earlier on Twitter, on Alignable, on Facebook, on whatever. If you see the picture of T. Meyer and Tosila, TNT, just click on our picture, and you'll be able to hear this entire program from the very start to the very end. That's all you have to do. And this could be next week. If you happen to see the post next week, or if you're looking for the post, you'll see it. You'll see it on my Facebook page, and you can just click on our picture and listen to the entire program. So that's good to know. And tell your friends about it. We really enjoy doing this, and we enjoy having our different guests. And Bishop, you have been a very special guest that we really enjoyed every bit of what you have to say. And you know, me being a musician myself, of course, I loved it, you know, everything that you said, and knowing you for so long and how serious you are about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what really we are really loving about you. Pastor Tosila, you have any last words?
I always have some famous last words, and that would be the only way. If you want to see the Father needs to see Jesus inside of you, and keep that in mind.
Amen.
And bear all those different fruits that God has for us to partake of, so that we can be becoming always and look good in his sight. And guys, have a blessed life, and don't worry. Just, you know, love. Learn to love. Don't worry. Learn to love. Love covers a multitude of not just sin, but everything. And we love you guys.
Yes.
And don't forget to tune in next week. God bless you.
God bless you. Any last words, Bishop?
No, I'm good. Thank you again for having me.
Okay. All right. God bless you all. Thank you for joining in, and we will see you all next week with Christian Talk with T. Myron Tasila, known as TNT. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.